I'm at a meeting, and one of the attendees is Larry Schell.
Larry Schell. Say hi to Larry Schell.
I sure will. We had a nice conversation at lunch, yeah.
Yeah. What meeting is that?
This is the inaugural meeting of the United States Doha Society.
Oh.
How's it going?
Being held here in Detroit, so you're right.
Well, Detroit can use the economy boost of a meeting. You know?
Indeed.
Although, I was talking to someone the other day who's buying houses there because he thinks they're great investments now.
You told me that 8 years ago when the economy
crashed.
Could
have bought that $30,000 house. So.
Yep, $30,000 house with 30,000 square feet. It was amazing. Right.
Yeah. Hey, Jill, you'll have to take the role. I'm not in my office, so I'm on my cell phone.
Got it under control.
All right, Jen, go ahead.
Okay, is Bill Barnett on?
Hold on 1 second. I'm back.
Okay.
Hello.
Scott Parnell?
Here.
Hi, Scott. Did I just hear Elizabeth?
Elizabeth is on.
Hi, Elizabeth. Jeff Wozniak?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Sarah?
Yep.
Tina? Peter?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Peter. Johan?
Yes, I'm here.
Johan. And Joanne?
Hi there.
Hi, Joanne. Christy?
Hi.
Hi, Christy. And Tom Donaldson?
Hi there.
Hi, Tom. And Kathy?
Yes, I'm on.
Bill Barnett and Tina Chambers, I think, are the only two that are going to be on the list for PI. So do we have Sarah Jo? I haven't heard her yet. Dan Savage? And Dale?
Dale won't be on.
Okay. Bill?
Yep.
And Ken Warren? Okay.
All right. Well, I'm not in my office. I have to do some other things today. But as you know, the SAD, all the grants were sent to outside reviewers. And those came back, and we had a conference call last Friday morning and started to accumulate the comments from the SAB and the outside reviewers. And I started to inform people. I did not get through it, so if you haven't received anything, that doesn't necessarily mean anything yet. I've gone through some of them and sent people the reviewers' comments. And the SAB comments. One of the issues that we are really up against the wall on are the budgets, in that with a $4 million cap averaging about 50% F&A, that brings it down to about 2.6. You take out the cores, we're down to about 1.8, maybe 1.7. If we take out the UH-2s, which have to be funded, we're down into the 1.34 range out of, you know, 5-6 projects. And that's a decision we're going to have to try to come to grips with. I have contacted people who had budgets that were taking 20% of the RUO1 type of budget, and told them that we need to see new specific games at a reduced budget early next week, early this week, by tomorrow or Wednesday. And then we have another conference call of the SAB and NIAAA. I believe it's on Wednesday. Jill, is that right? Wednesday. It is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, we should have a much better idea of what the composition of CFAS will look like, how we might be able to integrate projects to try to reduce cost in some respects and to try to continue to do some of what we've been doing over the last 12 years, add some new things in, and that's basically what's been taking up my time. And this conference call, there's no set agenda. I just wanted to kind of bring people up to date on where we were. I have had a conversation with Bill Dunty about ways that we might stretch things out. As you can imagine, year one budgets typically are higher than years 2 to 5 because of purchasing equipment and things like that. I also wanted to mention that several of you mentioned that you were going to obtain IRB approval during the first 3 to 6 months. I just wanted to point out you have to have an IRB approval before NIAAA will release the money to you, so that can't be an aim. You basically have to have that funding. You have to have the IRB approval before they will initiate the funding of the mechanism. Bill, do you have any comments that you want to make about the overall PFAS?
Well, I mean, it sounds like the budget issue is something you guys are struggling with, and unfortunately, it was, you know, the $4 million cap was what we were able to get, and that was hard to obtain in this budget climate. So there won't be any extra money. I hope that there'll be some creative ways that we can get the projects integrated and get them below the $4 million cap. I guess the other thing that was being discussed was the review, and I believe, Ed, you were in touch with Beata?
I have been in touch with Beata.
Okay.
And we're looking at the first 2 weeks in March. As a possibility. She didn't want to do February because of weather issues in D.C. And so it would be right after the Vancouver meeting, that week, the week after the Vancouver meeting or the following week. I believe it's the 6th through the 17th or something like that. Those 2 weeks. And again, I'm not in my office. I don't have my calendar with me. All right, so those weeks need to be held for a reverse site visit. So the other
it's
thing
correct.
That we have,
it's yeah. So the 17th is correct. The 2 weeks after Vancouver.
Yeah, and the other thing is if there is someone who you are scientifically conflicted with. We can put in a name because Beata wants to know from us ASAP what projects are kind of moving forward so that she can start assembling reviews. She said that this is the hardest review to find, to provide assignments for that she has because there are so many conflicts and from a collaborative standpoint. But if there is anyone who has a scientifically justifiable conflict with someone who doesn't see eye to eye to them, we would need to know that as soon as possible. And I know no one knows who's moving forward or not, so but you will know that shortly, by hopefully the end of this week. We have conference calls scheduled for Wednesday and Friday. So Bill, what else?
Ed, did you say Bill or Jill?
Bill.
Oh. Any other, nothing that I can think of. I mean, if anyone has questions, I could try to answer specific questions or feel free to give me a call offline, but,
So one of the things we're trying to do is to drag out budgets. So if people can think about that, because budget is going to be an issue in moving forward. It simply can't afford to spend 25% of the total UO1 research budget in one project. That will severely limit the ability to do much in the way of consortiumness. And if people have been asked to drop AIM, there were several projects where a particular AIM was thought to be good, but it wasn't necessary to fit into the consortium. In that case, you know, you can think about applying for separate funding or an administrative supplement or some other mechanism by which you could fund that particular AIM, even though, you know, it was deemed scientifically fine, but because of budgetary constraints just could not be included. Any questions?
I would also add to, we still see this in applications, the applicants coming in with items like salaries that are and have the inflation factored in over a number of years. You know, NIH doesn't do that any longer, and so that'll be cut out. So when you're putting the budget together, you know, take that in consideration.
Do you recommend to not even do inflations on budgets anymore? What's the recommendation?
There are certain categories that it's just not allowable. And so
yeah.
I can send that out, salaries being one of them.
Our office here at San Diego State was saying they're not even necessarily putting them forward anymore because it just makes more of a mess than cutting the budget back.
Right, right. So that's what I would recommend. I mean, we still get them in here, and, you know, they're not, obviously, they're not funded at the rates requested. So as you're trying to put the pieces together, just don't even include those in the calculations.
Okay. And then we will, hopefully by the end of the week, everybody will know where things are at. And then we could have a better idea of integrating projects, which might save money because we could cut some personnel at a particular site rather than funding two statisticians, one at each place. We could, you know, get one statistician. And we try to avoid subcontracts because of the indirect, but it's only indirect on the first $25,000 of the subcontract. So it's not that onerous. But it adds up if you have five subcontracts. You know, at $150,000 or $100,000 each, that's $50,000 in F&A to the subcontract institution and $25,000 of F&A to the contractor. So, you know, any way you can try to reduce that budget would be helpful. It would allow us to include projects that were judged to be scientific meritorious, but unfortunately without the funding to fund them. So that's a consideration. And the other thing is if you have publications in the pipeline, my advice would be to get those out. There were some applications that kind of asked for a validation of a previous specific aim or to continue a specific aim with very little progress toward that aim since the last CFAS renewal. And the SAB and the outside reviewers in some cases were concerned about that. And one of the things that the SAB and I have to worry about in terms of the admin core is to show that the project that we had included last time made sufficient progress, or they will deem that we're not a very effective consortium. And that could hurt everybody's overall score. So, you know, the admin core has to come out trying to say, you know, people met their aims. Here's proof that they met their aims. And if aims aren't met, then we have to somehow justify that. And that's the type of questions that I was asked on the closed-door session of the reverse site visit last time. You know, what happened to this project? Why didn't this happen? Et cetera. And so I need to rationalize any of that lack of progress on an aim, or if you're, particularly if you're continuing to ask for support for that aim. So, again, to recap, hopefully by Friday we will have things pretty much reckoned with. That doesn't mean that there can't be modifications after that. And I think Bill already knows this. We will go in over the $4 million cap, not by much, but by a little bit. And we did that last time, and as you may recall, two projects were cut to bring us down to the cap. And so that could again happen. So that's where we are. So I would suggest that people, you know, try to get publications out there, get the data into the repository. One of the things that we are going to do, I am planning on doing anyway, through the admin core and the informatics core in a joint effort, is to try to do more electronic types of things. And we're trying to budget a small piece of the admin core for someone who could assist with e-health and producing apps. And the informatics core is also trying to, we put in an IRB the other day to put in an online consent for people to be contacted for participation in research projects. And hopefully that will go through and we can get that up and working prior to a site visit so that we can tell them and show them that indeed we can do that. So that we could increase our recruitment and, you know, maybe get data a little bit easier than we have in the past. So, any other questions about the renewal? Boy, oh boy. I fielded about 43 phone calls last week about questions about the renewal. So, someone's got to have something. Nothing? Is anyone still on here?
We're here.
Of course
we're here.
All right. So would anyone like to tell us about it? Well, trust me, this is not the easiest job in the world, and I really want to thank the SAB for the hours that they literally put in reading all these 5-page proposals, the 2-page reviews that came back from everybody, and each other's reviews, because I think there was a total of, it was over 20, I believe, that we had to do. And we did it within a week. So there was a lot of effort, and I really appreciate the input and help that everybody put in. Does anyone have any fantastic progress they need to tell us about? Okay, so we're not making progress and no one has any questions. So I guess on one hand I'm doing a great job because there are no questions, and on the other hand I suck because there's no progress. All right, and you guys make my life difficult, and I'm tired.
The online Google Docs reporting progress of publications. The last conference call at the end of August had 4 new papers that have been accepted, 3 from Dr. Chambers' group and 1 from Dr. Wozniak's group, so that's progress.
That's good.
And that's up on the WebEx board right now if anybody wants to look.
Well, if anyone has an aim that they cannot report any progress in, I would urge them to try to remedy that situation. NIH does not let you write down papers in preparation anymore, so you don't have a lot of time. And I want to remind everybody that these grants are due by midnight of the 29th in whatever time zone you're in.
5 p.m.
5 p.m., whatever time zone you're in, though, right?
Yes, and it happens to be the Tuesday following Thanksgiving, which is kind of crazy.
How special.
It's very special.
Yeah, we tried to avoid that, but unfortunately we couldn't. Sorry.
But be aware that your sponsored research office might be taking long weekends, so you might have to before Thanksgiving.
And you have to remember that I need, and the SAB needs to see a very reasonable draft of your entire project, and including the budget. So in order to try to get to that $4 million cap, budget information is critical for us. Otherwise, we assign a number. And how you spend that, then you can leave it up to you. We'll leave it up to you, but I need to come in at around $4 point something million. And therefore, I also need to know the FNAs that are involved. So we have to start working on those as well, all right?
This is Scott. We had a paper accepted since the last conference call that I may have forgotten to fill out the post-acceptance form.
Oh, bad.
The time today.
I'm sorry.
All right. Any other fantastic news? Would anyone need electronic mobile app help? Is it desirable or not?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sarah, that's Sarah, right?
Sarah.
And Tatiana, I know. And Leah's on the call?
I'm here.
Yeah. And are you feeling better?
A lot better, thank you.
Leah was very sick. And Bill, I don't know if people know about Dale, but if anyone wants to, Dale's dad passed away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He's in California now and should be back tomorrow, I believe.
Okay. So just for your information. So that's, I guess, about it. I realize it's a relatively short, 25-minute call, but if anyone has any questions or anything, I will be in the office later today, and I'll be in tomorrow, and most of you have my cell number, and... I'm not available for the next couple hours. So.
This is Jill, and I just want to say that if anyone hasn't written a grant in a couple of cycles, the instructions are a little bit different than they were 5 years ago. So just formatting off of what you did 5 years ago probably won't work. So just make sure you're looking at the SF-424 forms and the form D. That's right, Dr. Dunty, right? We're in D?
That sounds right.
Yeah. So even like little tweaks in the bio sketch may seem small, but... some reviewers see an error in something like that, and they think you're not careful, and they hate it. So,
yeah.
Be careful.
Well, there's a new way of doing the bio sketch. So, email me if you need suggestions on how that is accomplished.
Okay. Or if you have anything you want me to send out to the group, go ahead and get it to me, and I'll blast it.
Okay.
Yeah. But there are a lot of little tweaks that are different, and so you have to deal with them and. There's just a lot of forms. I mean, it's a 12-page grant, but, all of these are going to be 60 and 70 pages long with bio sketches and everything else. And the electronic way of getting things in doesn't always work so smooth. So, try.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a naive question? Are the UO1 forms different from the RO1 forms, or is it just the normal 398 RO1 forms?
Forms are the same for the individual
project.
Yeah.
But it's not a 398 anymore, is it? It's called
separate.
No,
it's not.
Yeah. We don't have unique forms for U mechanisms, but they're very different from previous years. Another thing to be very cautious of is if your publications don't have PMCID numbers, that's a red flag on your grant right there. So one thing that you can start off even before all of this super craziness in writing starts, pull up your MyNCB bibliography, and if you've got red dots next to your publications, get them addressed right now, because it takes a while to get them in the green.
And they won't count if they're not in there.
It's Michael, and the other thing to be very careful about is web links that are buried, sometimes embedded in words, that sometimes cause proposals to be rejected.
Right, you're not allowed to link to a web page. I think you can put the link in, but you can't have it hyperlinked.
You can't have hyperlinks.
And one thing I just went through where Science Advisory Board biosketches, again, a lot of hidden web links just from how you guys keep your publications on your Vitas. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, we see across the whole institution, and typically in every cycle, we have two or three people who have their hard work in preparing a grant abolished by having it come back because there was a word that ended up being a web link.
And or maybe we'll come in at... Go on, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying you just have to scour your applications to make sure that there are no buried web links.
Well, maybe we should come in for $5 million and hope a lot of people do that. And make my life easier. Any other suggestions from the SAB who looked at all of these? And
well, no, I just would reiterate things that you had mentioned throughout your description, Ed, that the decision recommendations are very difficult because they have to involve things that are more than just the quality of the work and how, whether or not what you're proposing and your aims are being pointed out to move forward doesn't necessarily reflect on their quality or their importance. It's things like fit and what should be new for CFAS and moving forward, and of course the money is a big restriction. So I just emphasize that, there's a lot of these projects, ought to remain closely affiliated with CFAS no matter what happens going forward. And
that John brings up an important thing. It's one thing that we have talked about was to, if a project doesn't move forward or it doesn't get the, if it doesn't move forward, there are lots of things that have gone on in CFAS that we would like to continue, just without we don't have the resources to make those happen. And they're usually some of the projects that don't need a consortium, but they're very interesting projects. And we would like to try to have a category of an affiliate scientist, an affiliate CFAS member, that would participate in CFAS, but, we could not provide the immediate funding for them. That doesn't mean that we wouldn't try in some way to get that funding in the future, but it's just tough, when you got people are requesting $75,000 for equipment in year one, and you have two or three of those projects, and that just eats up a large chunk of the budget and in year one, and then it slows down. So if you can spread your budgets out over time, that helps a lot. Any other SAB, Sarah, Joe, or Dan?
No, just to reinforce what John said about, as the project selection becomes clearer that everybody needs to revisit the issue about how their projects will fit with the package that's going forward, and just sort of clarify and rewrite those sections of their application. And I agree with the things that John and Ed have said up until now.
Oh, Joe?
Nothing to add.
All right, Michael. Any other?
Nothing to add.
Bill.
Oh, I would just echo your comments about thanking the SAB for all their help up until this point. Reviewing the five pagers. I'm sure it's been a lot of work, and IAAA really appreciates it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Again, once hopefully the end of this week, everybody will know where that's going on and going forward, and then it'll be fine-tuning after that to concerning budgetary matters. The first 2 weeks in March, if you have a conflicted scientific reviewer, and Beata did tell me that they're going to put the conflicts rather loosely. So if you are part of another consortium, depending upon your role in that project, they may have other people from the consortium review it. So it's just too difficult to try to find people who have no relationship whatsoever with all the people in CPAP.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot recommend people who we want on the committee. So, hopefully we asked outside reviewers who have just been extremely tough, on the reviews or who we knew we didn't want on. So,
well, I know I am on the board, so.
But that's why we work.
Yeah.
So, but,
you're tough.
The outside reviewers were tough, I think. Alrighty, anything else?
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Alrighty, and Bill, you and I are going to talk for a little bit.
Yep.
Alrighty. Alright, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bill and I are staying on. I don't know if we need to do anything. Please, Bill.